Good morning on this, the 34th of Augsember.
On a Froms Day.
On a Froms Day with me and Leanne Moll. She just turned, how old? 77?
Yeah, no, if you swap those numbers around, then you'd be accurate.
Yes, 77. Yeah, yes. Very good. Yeah, you had a birthday on Saturday. How was that?
All good. You know, I've been saying, you know, when someone says how old you are and you say an age and then you walk away and you think, I'm not that age.
Yeah.
I've been saying age for 3 years and I'm finally that age.
Good. Heavens.
Good.
All right.
Heavens.
Well, we have so much to do this morning. We have lots to talk about, things to do, people to see, places to go. And we're very happy that you're on board with us because it's flipping freezing, but
yes.
Outside, yes. Jesus.
Yeah.
Domo dimo.
We're donning the coat this morning.
We are banda. So yeah, on Friday, I walked out in the parking lot after doing the show. I was like, what's going on here? Someone left the deep freeze door open.
Yeah, somehow it's a little bit colder when the sun's just coming up.
Yes, us. Anyway, we're fine now. And I actually noticed this morning it was only about 4 degrees, which is not so bad compared to last Friday. I mean, Friday was pretty damn horrible. Anyway, wherever you are and whatever kind of weather you're putting up with, that's the least interesting thing about you, but we had to mention it anyway. I had a very chilled weekend. Nothing much to report.
No traveling?
No, stayed in. Nice. Stayed warm. I felt a bit shit somewhere in the middle of last week, and I thought, I'm not taking a chance.
Yeah.
You know, because then I don't only look terrible, but I also sound terrible.
Kind of both.
We got 3 shows a week. I mean, that's a lot of trauma to put people through. So I don't want to be doing that. And yeah, what an interesting weekend, though. I mean, a lot of stuff going on. I noticed that Europe is, like, a lot of things are happening in Europe. I just this morning went into X. I see that the Belgians have kicked out their leftist globalist president. He's on his way to the unemployment line, which is great. I mean, we just had our election the other day, so it's very much on my mind.
Does he qualify for a SASA?
No, but in Belgium, they've got so many welfare programs. That's why people from all over the shittiest countries in the world go there to get free stuff. You know, they're about to learn a horrible lesson in Europe, but I'm not going to take any pleasure in it because I don't think it's very nice. I see that the Germans are heading towards the right, which is never a good sign. The Italians, the Spanish, the Dutch, and also now the Irish. So you know what? Anybody who thinks, oh no, this is terrible, you have to ask yourself why. Well, because for the last, God knows, 30 years, it's just been moving so much in the other direction that now you have the pendulum swinging. So surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
This is what you get. This show is basically all just memes from beginning to end, right?
It's basically TikTok. No.
We're not TikTok. Because you know why? We're as stupid as TikTok, but we're just not controlled by the Chinese.
Big difference.
That's the difference. At least our stupid, you know? We know what we're up to. So how did you do this weekend? What did you do for your birthday?
Well, it's my mom's birthday on the same day, so we did a bit of a family thing.
Yeah, Leanne has this thing in their family where they concertina birthdays together so they can save money or whatever.
Get them all out.
Maybe you guys just don't, you know, you don't like to make too much of a fuss.
Or that we'll bang once a year at the same time, and that's when the children are born.
Yeah, and your family, it's like, just calculate 9 months back from Leanne's birthday. That's the only day or night that all the women and men in their family are allowed to have sex.
They get up off the sofa and they're like, right,
that's enough for now. Enough lying around. It's time for some sex. Oh, what a horrible, frightening thought. So what did you do?
Yeah, so I just went for some really good Italian lunch.
Nice.
You know, as I said, the family's dwindling. No one's breeding. So
damn it.
It's just the old fogies left.
Even on that one day?
No, not even on that one day. We were all off that day.
Damn it, man.
Birthdays, shit happens. You got to keep on moving.
So you're at the stage now where a birthday is a pain. It's not good.
No, it's still okay because I do still get gifts and things because there's so few of us. It's like a bit of a thing, which is nice.
Okay.
So yeah, I got some really.
I still enjoy. Gifts. I still like a birthday. I mean, I don't like a fuss being made.
No,
but I like a birthday. You
know, my cousin nephew said he's on the 5th of June. So again, you know, just banging it all out.
Wow.
But he said he turned 4.
And he had profound wisdom to share.
He did.
Oh.
He said because everyone woke up in the morning and started singing Happy Birthday, and he put his hands up and he said, No. I want a talking birthday, not a singing birthday.
Oh.
But you know, when will we all be able to say, don't sing to me, actually?
Yeah. Just
say happy birthday.
You see, I wonder how many people in South Africa have been traumatized by like being sung to at the spur.
Because oh, yeah.
I think that for a lot of people spoils the birthday. I know it's meant to make you feel special and important, but for those of us who don't really like attention, that's just hell on wheels in a black dress.
And it's supposed to be so amazing, you know?
No, it's horrible.
You're supposed to love it.
It's horrible. So, all right, we've got a couple of things to get to this morning. I just wanted to start off with this. This is quite fun. James, see if you can find that picture of the. In fact, it's a video of a guy on a bus in KZN. He's surfing on top of the bus. This is the kind of stuff.
Okay, like train surfing, but.
Yeah, the caption says only in South Africa, but take a look at this. You know, you started your. You guys are embarrassing yourself in every possible way. You got shit weather. You've got the most troublesome political party. Your roads are falling apart. Floods. Huge disaster. Tornadoes. And now you've got this guy on the roof of a bus. I'm starting to think, you know what, KZN, you get what you deserve.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's the most sane person there at the moment.
What?
People are like looking around them at everything crumbling.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I'd rather
be one of those people looking at this stuff than being on top of a bus. Listen, all you need to do is not calculate for an overpass or one of those signs that he was just heading under.
Yeah. You saw what happened to the giraffe in Johannesburg.
Correct. They decapitated a giraffe once.
Yeah.
Drove into a bridge. They were transporting giraffes just in a normal.
It's like on the M1
like
or something.
Like a horse box.
Oh no, Shem, that was horrible. I still think about it.
No, it is. It's horrible. But over the weekend, I saw this alert go out too for a stolen car. And I thought, who would steal that? Because we've talked about them so much on this show that I thought, nah, it's got to be some kind of joke, right? Someone's taking the piss. But look at this. This is a warning that went out over the weekend for a stolen car. Look, a stolen Bajaj, everybody. Yep.
What's it called? A cutie.
A cutie. Hijack Zimba Street, Dobsonville, and they stole a yellow cutie Bajaj, and then they give the registration number. I can't believe someone stole that.
You've got to be able to.
They need somewhere to put their purse.
You've got to pick a car that you can drive away quickly in if you're going to steal it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's
can you imagine him?
That's what they sound like. So I don't know what you guys got up to over the weekend, but I'm glad I was indoors and staying away from this craziness.
Deepest.
Mm-hmm. So while I was indoors and staying away from the craziness, I found a very, very cool video of cells multiplying.
As you would.
I love this stuff. You know, I can't get enough of it, so I'm going to share it with you. So what you can see here is mitosis. You can see two cells coming from one. It's the most amazing thing, this. You see the actual chromosomes.
Dancing.
No, well, you can see them, and then they line up in the middle, and they split. And half of them go to the one side and half to the other side. And then the centrioles pull the nucleus back together. Your last thing to split there, by the way, is the mitochondrion.
Which is the powerhouse.
And when you see it split, it actually makes this. It's the one on the left.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the mitochondrion. Watch what happens when it splits. You see like a flash of electricity. It's phenomenal. Watch this. 1, 2, 3, boom. Do you see that?
Wow.
Isn't that spectacular?
But now you can see why so much can go wrong.
God, I think that's beautiful. That's probably the most beautiful thing you could see, because Even the greatest scientists and biologists, when they were discovering this stuff, couldn't see it the way that we can now. I mean, there you see the actual chromosomes.
Lining up.
Oh,
splitting
it's so incredible.
Counting themselves.
Guys, I mean, like, if this doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. Because you're going to see a lot of bullshit on the internet. You know, men dressed as women going to trans rallies. You're going to see people doing TikTok dances. You're going to see bizarre and stupid things. This is actually one of the reasons that I'm thrilled to have technology on my side. And I... Even though I see a lot of stupid stuff, when I see something like that, I'm like, this is worth it. I'll put up with all the dumb shit to see that, you know?
The most we saw in science class or biology was little drawings of this is part one, part two.
Yeah, or they had a horrible model like a...
Yeah, made it out of plasticine or something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
To see that is amazing. I mean, you remember I smashed my fingers in the door.
No, how could we forget you? You didn't come here the one day. We were stuck without you.
And I thought, because my cuticle was chopped in half, it was, you know, no longer there. And I thought, is it going to remember how to make a cuticle again? Mm. And to watch it forming, it's amazing.
Of course, it's horribly deformed now, but it's still...
It's peeling and weird and odd.
Listen, don't you hate the fact that in winter you have to use moisturizer?
Oh, I get itchy nipples too. No, I do. It's the first thing I think of.
Why do your nipples get itchy?
Don't yours?
No.
I know. I've spoken to guys about it before. It happens.
What are you talking about?
No, you get. It's like an itch that doesn't go away for days and days and days in winter.
Maybe you should wash occasionally.
No, it's the
what
worst.
What are you doing? Why do you have itchy tits in winter?
Everything gets itchy, but
I'm
those are the worst.
I'm calling itchy tits from now on.
Oh Lord. I promise it's not strange. Please, somebody
right.
in the comments, back me up, please.
Mm-hmm, Now, we all know South Africans are taking up jobs on yachts and ships and things. This is what they do. Mm. A lot of South Africans can't get jobs here, so who can blame them? They go looking for jobs everywhere else in the world. And one of the most popular jobs for South Africans to do is to work on the ships and the yachts.
Yeah, we've seen and, below deck.
Yeah, below deck, a lot of South Africans on there. And I think they're embarrassing sometimes, but mostly they behave themselves.
The yachties, which you're not supposed to call them.
Okay, but apparently a South African worker has been charged in the US with a stabbing on a cruise ship.
And this is a huge cruise ship. It's not a yacht. This is a, I think it's a 5,000.
Oh, so you could hide.
Yeah. Yeah, you could.
So how did he get caught? Well, not a very good criminal. I thought we provided the world with some good criminals because we got so much crime in this country that you'd think we were better at it. You mean he got caught straight away?
Well, he just started losing his mind, right? So he signed, he'd only been working for a day, for about 24 hours.
Oh, how embarrassing.
And he started his work. Everything seemed okay.
Yeah.
And then the one night, well, it was early morning, it's something past one in the morning, he tried to launch one of the lifeboats off the side of the cruise ship into the sea.
Sounds like a very stable person.
Yeah, well, it's not a stable Mabel that we're dealing with
here. No.
And after he got caught, you know, the people, I don't know what they're called on the boats, it must be security, got hold of him and managed to... you know, turn him in, and they took him into what was like the hospital area of the cruise ship.
Mm.
And there he completely lost it. He pulled away from everyone, managed to grab a pair of surgical scissors.
Oh, Jesus.
Off of a tray, ran into an adjacent room where there was a 75-year-old ailing American woman and stabbed her in the arm and the face and the hand, and then just went on a bit of a spree and stabbed a couple of people. No one was killed. I mean, you know, these.
So he stabbed them, but they didn't die.
They didn't die. So he's not facing, you know, murder charges, but he's facing attempted murder charges. Just completely lost it after a day. What on earth? Are these people not screened? And listen, then also it's, you know, the South African who went and stabbed all of the foreigners on a cruise ship. So now there are videos all over of people playing the captain's announcement, which you can hear. They're on their fancy cruise. And the captain saying, "I'm, you know, don't know how to say this, but we've had a terrible incident. The person's been detained."
You know, it's like on a plane. I don't need to know everything. I know there are lots of people in the world who want to know all the details, but I think it's probably a better idea for everybody, especially like the kind of people who'll be on a 5,000 people cruise, to not know that there was a lunatic, South African or not, with a pair of scissors stabbing people. Like, rather just keep that until everyone's disembarked. Hey, had a nice holiday. Cheers. And then send them a WhatsApp or something afterwards. All right. Thanks for coming on our cruise. Just by the way, there was a murder in the kitchen, or an attempted murder in the kitchen. And you are fine. You got away with it perfectly. You don't have to worry about a damn thing.
But what about the rumors? You don't want rumors starting on a in a
How far into the cruise was this?
It was only a week-long cruise. It was in Alaska. So he was actually arrested in Alaska last month, and now everything's
we're not only in court. We're not only sending people overseas to find jobs because they can't get jobs here, but we're sending disturbed people. So we're exporting a bit of crazy as well. Bit of fresh South African crazy, which nobody in the world wants, right? Nobody wants this. So I'm sorry. Let's just, normally I don't take any responsibility for anyone except myself, because that's really what sensible people should do. You should only feel bad about what you do as an individual. Like, I don't get upset, for example, when another man behaves stupidly and does something embarrassing.
Yeah, you don't get... On behalf of all men.
I don't get upset when white people do so. On behalf of all white people. So I also am not going to get upset on behalf of all South Africans and make apologies. And but, you know, for what it's worth, most of us are okay. So don't judge us by this weirdo. Clearly, he's a very disturbed individual.
You want to know his name? His name is Ntando Sogoni.
Okay.
35 years old. So not your usual... Oh, I've just seen this article. It says, began stabbing people with a medical scissor.
not scissors?
Scissors, okay.
A medical scissor.
Yeah, can I borrow me your scissor?
So what we've learned from this is, not only is this guy dangerous, this Ntando chap who stabbed, but also the person who wrote the article should be put in a padded cell.
Yeah, he's more guilty.
Absolutely. So if you were busy over this weekend, you might have missed some of this. There's a lot of stories that are going on. By the way, we see the comment section's very, very busy this morning. Apparently, people say that the itch for the tit itch that you have is real.
Yes.
Doesn't help to be in menopause. Out of nowhere, Leanne Moll mentions itchy tits. Mapelo, do your thing, because Gareth ain't taking the hit. Nikki says, my sister's on a cruise in the Mediterranean. There are three South Africans working there.
Ooh.
Someone asked, how's producer Ryan doing in Ireland? Let me just find out, actually. You know what, James, it would be a good idea to catch up with him. See what he's doing in Ireland at some point. He can join us online. We could scratch each other's nipples, Leanne. It's a thing, says Maxoni.
Maybe that'll work.
Nice. Lots of people very interested in your itchy tits here.
It happens, and it lasts for days and days. Nothing you do helps.
Slippery Pickle says, the stabbing happened about 4 weeks ago. My friend works on a sister vessel. Now they won't hire South Africans for 3 years.
Oh, my word. You see?
Look, that's not right. There's some very good South Africans doing very good work. You can't punish us all for that. Listen, the sins of the father. You never heard that? The sins of the father should never be visited on the son. Yep. In other words, you shouldn't be responsible for other people's stupid behavior or bad behavior or deadly behavior. You should only be responsible for you. That's why when people say to you, you've got generational guilt or whatever, I'm like, no, 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 no. You can't do that. You're an individual. You live in the world. You have to make things work. You must not get upset about things that are beyond your control. And you can't take responsibility for things that you didn't do. Okay? Really. This is very, very important. My balls itched, said Bucker. It's all fun and games till you feel a lump on your nut.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going to check that out, dude. You do not want to have lumps there. You need to, but I'm glad that you're checking them regularly. It's very important.
You don't want lumpy nuts.
No, definitely not. Absolutely not. Okay, so something else that I discovered while we're talking about people who have... mental health problems and are stabbing people on cruises. What do you think the opposite of a Debbie Downer? You know, Debbie Downer is like someone who comes into a party and they're like, oh, hi, everybody. I suppose I'm happy to be alive.
Eeyore.
Yeah. those miserable people who just don't, they don't add any positivity. They make every day gloomier. You walk into a room with them and you're like, oh, I have to lift the whole room with my pinky here because this person is sitting on it like a lead weight.
So Debbie, maybe an appetit Ursula?
Debbie Downer. No, there's a better word for it. Look at this. Dun, 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 dun. A bethamphetamine. Right?
Yes, I love that.
So who knows people like that? I'd rather have 10 bethamphetamines than one Debbie Downer.
I don't know. Not too many of those.
All right. You might disagree. And then this is fascinating. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm rolling through a whole bunch of stuff, but it's like I should have a category on a Monday called Weird Weekend Stuff or something. And we just get videos and pictures of,
yes,
of social media and the internet. So this is amazing. This is a game of rock, paper, scissors, but it's done by AI. So what they did is they gave an AI computer the rocks, the papers, and the scissors, equal numbers of each, and said, all right, now bounce them around, you know, like a game of almost the thing where they bounce off the sides of the screen,
like a,
and
screensavers
like a
do
Tetris
it.
Type thing, right? But you're not lining them up and like canceling out the rows. So they put an equal number of scissors in one corner, rocks in another corner, and at the bottom paper. And it's the most fascinating thing to watch. Only problem with this video, I'm afraid, and I don't know whether we're going to play it with sound or not. If we play it with sound, you'll hear the woman going, this is so intense.
Oh.
You know that stupid voice that they use for all those videos?
Yes.
This is so intense. That terrible voice that they use for everything. Rock, paper, scissors. This is so intense. You want to stab yourself with a fucking scissors, hit yourself in the head with a rock, and cover yourself in paper. Anyway, if you can get past that, it's fascinating to watch because it really does go up, down, left, right. You're like, oh, it's definitely going to be the scissors.
What happens when they clash?
You wait and see. This is fantastic. All right. I wonder if this means that there is some advantage to one over the other if you're ever playing this game. And maybe in the comments, we'll discover somebody who's cracked the code on rock, paper, scissors. But I thought this was amazing. Here we go. Take a look at this.
Rock versus paper versus scissors. Place your bet. Oh my God, this is so intense. GG paper.
Paper it is.
The papers win. Because if you can eliminate the scissors, obviously, the threat to the paper's gone because rocks can do nothing to paper. So I think maybe there might be some small advantage.
So like always start on paper?
I think so. I mean, that's kind of what I got out of it. I don't know if everybody thinks so. Anyway, joking atheist says that gave me itchy tits to watch. But Nikki says it's a waste of AI. I don't think so. This is what AI was meant to do. Because, you know, a human could never be objective in that situation. Mm. And humans would program it one way or the other. Like, this is where it's just the machine is just going, okay, totally unemotional. Let's see where this goes. Bounce these things around and see who wins. Now, I don't know if there's an explanation for why paper would come out on top. I'm fascinated by what might have gone into the thinking behind it and what they might have learned from the processes and what kind of program you would have to construct, whether there's some advantage in the actual programming language for paper.
It's a lot to think about.
I mean, it's fascinating, right?
Yeah.
A lot of you are making fun of this. Like Carl says, that's 2 minutes of my life I'll never get back. And that voice makes me want to stab my ears. I agree about the voice. I warned you. I did warn you in advance about the voice. This is really intense. But can we cut that out and just like use it when someone's being super boring on the show? Yeah. If someone's talking just the even if it's me, if I bring up something that nobody cares about, you just go, this is really intense. Let's do that.
Okay. All right. Deal.
Anyway, I think it's important, Carl. If these things are going to rule the earth, these machines, we need to understand how they're going to do it, right? So start paying attention.
Yeah, you never know.
I thought that was interesting. All right. Well, I'm not going to bring you any more stuff like that then. You don't want it? I'll move on. What a waste of AI, says Nikki. What do you want AI to be doing? Did you watch any of the tennis over the weekend?
There was tennis?
Yes. We've got to get to some sport. We'll do that.
We're getting to it's strawberries and cream season, is it not?
No, well, this was Roland Garros.
Right.
Your one tennis tournament ahead.
Almost there.
Of Wimbledon.
Oh, goodness me. It's time to wake up. Okay, I'm awake.
Were you just on autopilot there for the first half hour of the show?
Hello.
We were actually going to start the show really early because we heard Leanne was running a bit late. As you can see, she's just woken up.
So I'm actually really early.
I think that happens to a lot of people in offices across the country when they get their first coffee. They're like, ding, 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 ding. Oh, I'm awake. All right. Very good. Oh, man. AI was made by a human, says Arthur. So why would there not be a certain one that comes up more frequently?
Let's have a moment.
Arthur has not woken up yet for this morning, no. So I can give you a chance to get with it. Yes, AI was made by a human, but the whole point is artificial intelligence. It learns from itself eventually. And what you've got here is machines that have no human inputs determining outcomes that humans don't program in. All they do is program the processes, not the result. But I feel like I don't want to.
You don't want to go down that.
No, I feel like I don't want to be doing this on a Monday morning first thing. I really don't. I am fascinated by it, though. And if anybody has any actual insights, unlike Arthur, then I'd love to hear them. That video is awesome. Here we go. Nikki says, that's exactly what we should be using AI for. What human could produce that? Thank you. Someone gets it.
Mm-hmm.
You and me, Nikki, we're in the minority, but it's worth it for us. Damn right. My termite video was more fascinating, says Nick, a different Nikki. All right. Okay. Let's do some sport, James. Let's see what's going on. We've brought up the tennis now. I watched Alcaraz playing. What's this German guy? He's got a Russian name. Anyway. You could see I was paying serious attention. But I watched a little bit of that yesterday. Otherwise, I don't know very much about any sport that happened over the weekend. Is there anything that we should have been paying attention to that we were not? Well, to help us with it, here is James, who got a huge amount of flack on Friday.
I did.
So it wasn't James and Flex's fault that we didn't have good sound on Friday for those people. I noticed there was a huge amount of noise and furore and anger and wild accusations flying and... So let's be clear. It was not Flex and James who do the show every morning with us. It was not their fault. They tried to fix it, whoever had left after a recording the day before had left the desk in disarray and there were no settings. They deleted our settings.
It's all gone.
You know, we like to let you in behind the scenes here to let you know what's really happening. So all the hatred and anger that you directed at James, we'll find out who the person is that you can direct it at instead.
And put it in the comments.
Right, and we'll put it in the comments. In the meantime, what have we got in sport?
So something you should have been paying attention to in the sport this weekend, guys, as South Africans.
Yes.
Bafana Bafana took on Nigeria in the World Cup qualifiers.
Oh, yeah?
They ended that game 1-1. So, I mean, it's not a woo yet, but it's, you know, 1-1 against Nigeria is not bad at all. Still in the world of football, though, the Euros are coming up very, very shortly from the 14th of June. That's when that kicks off. Germany take on Scotland. The second game there, Hungary, Switzerland, Spain, Croatia, and Italy, Albania. Those are the games that open up the Euros. Gareth, my life has meaning again. I forgot that
there's
the Euros
football, is there?
Yeah. Okay. The Euros are on, so we love that for us. Back to the tennis. You guys brought up the tennis. Oh, are you speaking of Alexander Zverev?
Zverev, yeah, that's the one. Thank you.
So Carlos Alcaraz beat him 6-3, 6-2, 7-5, 6-1, 6-2 to win the men's title in the Roland Garros. Women's side, Iga Swiatek won the title there. That's her fifth Grand Slam at just the age of 23, which is kind of insane. It was her fourth French Open title in 5 years, having won it in 2020, 2022, 2023, and 2024. She's now three off equaling Chris Evert's record of seven women's singles titles at Roland Garros.
So okay, very
she's
good.
Doing things at the age of just 23, which Excellent. Is quite wild. The Grand Prix happened in Canada this weekend.
Yeah, apparently they had someone singing the Canadian anthem wearing like a leotard. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to see if I can find it. Yes, you need to see this, actually.
I'm quite sad. I did because I missed the start of the race. It's a leotard.
Bad. It's really bad. I'm going to see if I can find it quickly. But you carry on.
I will.
I mean, Canada is famously now probably the most left-wing country in the world right now. Okay, so Canada is so crazily politically correct that they got this. It must be some trans person or something, because there's no way that that easily fits into or comfortably fits into the category male or female. I'll show you the video and you can decide for yourself. And this person sings, "Oh, Canada." It's horrible. It's so horrible.
Canada was quite eventful. Max Verstappen taking home the number one position yesterday. Lando Norris in second. And another Brit in third and in fourth. So three Brits, second, third, and fourth. Norris, Russell, and Hamilton there. Max just doing everything to extend his lead at the top of the championship. In the world of cricket, Afghanistan beat New Zealand in the T20 World Cup. Bangladesh beat Sri Lanka. South Africa beat the Netherlands by 4 wickets. Australia beat England by 33 runs. And India beat Pakistan last night. And then in the world of rugby, finally, the semi-finals have been decided. We have the Bulls. They're up against Leinster on the 15th of June.
All right.
And then we have Munster up against the Glasgow Warriors also on the 15th of June there. I'm not finished. We had the comrades this weekend.
Yes, I did see some of that.
Oh, you did?
God, what
did you
think? I hate the comrades. I've explained to you why I hate the comrades, right? There are two very sensible reasons not to watch that shit. First one is, once that person who wins crosses the finish line, male or female, once the winner of each race crosses the finish line, everyone else should stop wherever they are on that stupid road between Durban and Maritzburg, and they should go home. No one wants to see the 412th person, or the 310th, or the 965th, or that sad asshole who's the one who's just crawling across the line with his pancreas hanging out of his backside before they go, and the guy's life falls apart because the guy behind him doesn't make it.
Gareth, it's
boring.
It's, no.
Boring. The other reason that you shouldn't watch it is because running is bad for you. Have you seen what runners look like in their 50s?
Gareth, it's that's the time of the race that you should just not watch anymore.
I don't watch any of the race.
But the race...
I don't watch any of it.
They're trying to better their times.
I do know who won. There was some Dutch guy who won the men's one.
That's right.
And a famous South African female runner whose name escapes me who won the women's one. Gerda Steyn.
Won recently as well.
We've heard a lot of good things about Gerda Steyn. She's a bit of a superstar in that field. But honestly...
But don't you give some of them props for
doing
that kind of a race? It's quite a race.
It's always at the coldest time of the year. They used to do it in May, though. I don't know why they've moved it to June. They used to do it in May. I'm pretty sure I'm not wrong there. Someone correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. But they block up the roads between Maritzburg and Durban. First of all, people have lives, right? It's a Sunday. Saturday.
Sunday. It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. See, I don't care because I don't watch. So they block up the roads. People have things to do. I mean, church-going people.
Good church-going people
can't get to and from church because of evil people running, being hounded by Satan to hell. Because it is hell. You can't imagine. Look at those people's faces. You never see the runners going, do you? You see them going.
I don't know. Half the state
they all look like they're
the
about to take a shit.
Smiling, but
no,
also,
come on.
Just a reminder, and I'm looking at the comments. she broke a record. So
she's fantastic.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty amazing.
She's fantastic. But you know what happens to these runners when they. I keep telling everyone I know who runs, I'm like, please savor the fact that you are young and supple and good looking now, because running, if you get on that sun and on that hot tar long enough, you're going to look like Biltong soon. It happens. Tell me I'm lying. Go on. Pull up a great marathon runner who looks fantastic in their 50s.
What about Bruce Jenner?
Bruce Jenner was never a marathon runner. And
yes,
Bruce,
he was.
No, he wasn't. He was at a middle distance.
Oh.
No. And decathlete, actually, could do the high jump. He could do anything. He could run, jump, fight, fuck, wheel a barrow, drive a truck. Bruce Jenner. He was fantastic when he was Bruce Jenner.
He could even become a woman.
Yeah, he could even win Woman of the Year. How's that, ladies? Take that, put it in your pipe and smoke it. Bruce Jenner is not a good example. I need long-distance runners. Find me one that looks like they're still in the prime of their life, even if they are in the prime of their life.
Someone said in the comments, Bruce Fordyce. I haven't seen what he looks like in a while, though, so I can't vouch for that.
God bless him. Listen, I interviewed Bruce Fordyce maybe last year, maybe the year before. He's terrific, and I love Bruce. He's got a great sense of humor. He's a real champion of, like, getting people fit, which I love, because, you know, fatness is the enemy for all of us. he started these park runs.
Mm.
Which is apparently incredible. People all over major cities in South Africa are taking part in these things every weekend. Good. Good for you. I mean, that's like a hobby. But if you're a professional marathon runner and you do the comrades every year, you're not looking good. I'm just going to say.
I'm not sure that they're worried about what they look like.
I don't think
honest.
They care about what I think either. They
no,
love it. They
not,
love
no.
it.
Definitely not. Yeah. There's a website called letsrun.com, and there's a forum on there I'm looking at.
Oh.
Which distance runners are the sexiest?
Oh, oh boy.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're asking runners. They don't know. Runners wouldn't know.
For females, from my experience,
and
it's
remember,
the 5Kers.
Five Ks. I mean, like, okay, so the most I've ever run in my life is 3Ks, and it nearly killed me. Maybe that's why I'm bitter and twisted about running.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. I've done a 10K
I was going,
race.
For about half an hour afterwards. That was 6 or 7 years ago.
Oof. I was going to say give it another try, but I think the
I will never do
still...
it again. Only, here's the Bible, look it up. Only the evil man runneth when nothing is chasing him. Look it up. That's the word of the Lord God. Don't take my word for it.
Thanks be to God.
Right. By the way, just before, have you finished?
Yeah, I think so. It was just the comrades.
About how to stay. Yeah, right. Okay. So if you placed any bets, by the way, with Superbets, then you would have heard from James what the results were. You might have won some money. And in case you want to find out more, you can go and check out Superbets. This is Beyond the Scoreboard. And they bring us the sport every Friday with Ben and every Monday's recap with James. Superbets supports responsible gambling, strictly now under 18s. Winners know where to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline is 0800-006-008. So while we're talking about the Lord our God,
yes,
I watched a little bit of the D-Day celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
To me, see, that's how bad running is. I would rather watch commemorations of people who died 80 years ago.
Did you see Camilla?
Normandy. I saw Camilla. I saw King Charles. I saw Emmanuel Macron and his husband. I mean, wife.
Did you see them trying to hold hands? Or what?
I saw that she did not want to be near him. She just, like, she doesn't.
No, it was,
I think she's fallen out of love with him since all those days ago in school.
No, she was trying to hold Camilla's hand, which you don't do.
Oh, no, you don't hold him. No.
Exactly. So it was a bit of
but
a.
Because she's a man. I mean, that's what the rumor was.
There was a whole thing about it. You know, they went and did the thing at the wall.
Yes.
And then
the thing at
Macron
the wall.
Leaned over and wanted to take her hand.
Yes.
And Camilla just like took a few steps backwards and tried to avoid it.
Yes.
And then eventually held her hand for a few seconds and then let go. And then the two of them were very awkward. And then they turned around and trotted off to their husbands.
It kind of been as awkward as Biden. Biden, while they're playing taps, okay, which is the the last post. So Biden's standing there. Can you? Am I going to be all right if I'm in? I don't know how they do these things. So Biden's standing there, and he goes, "Oh, there we go. Did you see that? That looked weird." He goes, or whatever, and then they start playing the last post, and he's standing there like that, and then he just turns around like this. And nobody knows what to do. So Jill Biden turns around, and then the Macrons turn around, and then they're all facing the wrong way. Like they're facing a wall where the people who've gathered to hear what they have to say are right in front of them. And I think it's just Biden got confused. He didn't know what the hell was going on.
But that's not a surprise. It happens often.
And then there's the moment where he stood up and he stand. I'm going to do this again to you guys. All right. You ready? Producers. So he's standing up and he goes like this. I get a weird angle. Like he's about to take a shit. I do not know what to make of that man.
Imagine, maybe he did.
Listen, I have it on good authority, thanks to some sources of mine in Washington.
Yeah.
They keep an extra suit around just in case. Yes.
Well, take that should be for anyone.
Take that as vicious rumor if you like, but that's what I'm hearing. So yeah, there we go. So yeah, don't worry about wife trying to hold Camilla's hand. That's hardly the most embarrassing thing that happened there. The reason I bring it up is because they had some Anglican priest after King Charles had spoken. And they all, I think they learn in the Anglican church. And I only went to a few of these when I was a tiny child. But I remember they speak in a certain way. They have they must teach them. In like Anglican school, and anyone who's been to an Anglican church service knows what I mean. And even if you haven't, you might even remember the coronation last year.
Mm.
What they do is they go, "And here is this crown anointed by Holy God."
I think they just copy each other. It's like journalists.
It's a weird way to do things.
All journalists sound the same.
"And on this field, 80 years ago, these men gave their lives." You're like, do they all sit in the same class and learn how to? That's how you end a sentence on a down every time.
Or journalists who are reporting from
they do. That's also how they. Yeah, that's right. Speaking of journalists, here's our favorite journalist ever. Her name is Serena Branson. And here she is doing a famous line, which you may remember from our show when we were still on radio. It's still my favorite ever screw up by a reporter. I think she had a migraine and her brain was like,
it was called a blind something.
She was having a mini seizure by the sound of things. But take a look. This is just great. Here's Serena Branson.
For the very first time, Serena.
Well, a very, very heavy debatation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go hit Terrace Chase and look for the bit. They had the pit.
You know, my ballet can still do that perfectly.
Well, a very, very heavy Bertation tonight. There's a Darris Dason, Dare to the Pet, Habit to Pet.
Let's go, Sarah Day, just with the head.
I love her. She's great. I wonder if she ever got a job, because that was like her first night ever on television.
It became like a public thing that
Poor woman.
What was that migraine called? But yes, it's a certain kind of blinding.
Hey, listen, stop wasting our time. We've got to get to Dr. Hanan.
Oh, yes, please.
You're wasting so much time. Here he is. Hello, Doc. How are you? Is he there?
Oh, there he is.
How are you? You know, looking nicely warm for winter. Freezing, huh?
It is so cold. It is so cold. Welcome to winter.
All right. So, listen, here's something that we got from somebody in the comments the other day. Guilt. How to deal with guilt. Is it a useless emotion? So, I mean, that's a very open-ended question. But people carry guilt around. And I even this morning in the show brought up how you can't really be responsible for someone else's mistakes or, you know, terrible deeds or whatever. I don't take responsibility for, you know, the other men when one man goes and abuses his wife. I don't take responsibility for white people when they dance badly. I don't take responsibility for South Africans when one of them stabs somebody on a ship. And yet you get people who are guilty. They're just overwhelmed by guilt, either guilt that they have earned themselves in their heads, or guilt that they carry for no good reason for things that they weren't involved with. It's just the weirdest thing.
Mm. So I think this is a very important, pertinent point that people must really take on. Every emotion that is created by you, every emotion that you experience has an evolutionary purpose. So guilt has an evolutionary purpose. Depression, anxiety, insecurity, frustration, anger mm-hmm. has an evolutionary purpose. So, you know, when somebody comes to me in therapy and says, Hanan, I want us to work on me eliminating guilt, my answer is, well, that's not possible. Hanan, I want us to eliminate self-doubt. That's mm-hmm. not possible. Hanan, I want us to eliminate the feeling of grief or feeling down or feeling anxious. Well, that's not possible because that is inbuilt in us. And at times, it's incredibly functional to feel these emotions. As a matter of fact, when somebody asks me, well, then what is guilt for? Well, guilt allows us to assimilate into a community. Because right. people that don't feel guilty, we send them away to psychiatric wards and prisons. That's what we do because they have no feelings of whether I can or I should or I can't hurt somebody else. I feel no remorse for breaking the social norms, for breaking the rules. So guilt at certain times is incredibly functional. But when you're functioning by a rule set that isn't functional, that isn't it doesn't help you adapt and assimilate into a group, then that is when any emotion, including guilt, becomes absolutely useless. So what is guilt for? Guilt is an emotion that tells you that you're breaking social norms or the rules that you set out in your head. So, for example, I'll give you an analogy. I'm taught certain rule sets by mom and dad. When I was 4 years old, I was told to not cross the street on my own. So now at 4 years old, if I'm about to cross the street on my own without looking for mom and dad, I should be feeling guilty. And that guilt stops me from crossing the road by myself. But now at 44, 45 years old, if I still abide by the same rule set, well, that's no longer functional. It doesn't work. It's weird, and I should be sent for psychiatric help. So the rule set needs to be updated with your age, with the environment, with the social structure that you're in. And when the guilt serves no purpose, it doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you assimilate and get from point A to your goal, point B. That's when you need to change the rule sets and hence the guilt goes away.
Okay. But now you get two kinds of guilt. You get the kind of guilt that you've actually earned that you need to do something about. Like if you're guilty of lying or you steal something from someone or something very obvious, right? And even the less obvious kinds of guilt. Like you should feel bad if you're unnecessarily mean to an old lady. You should feel guilty. But there are people who make it their business to manipulate other people through guilt. And this is something we need to address. It's a big problem. I mean, I've got friends who find that their mother will manipulate them through guilt. Oh, you never visit me. Oh, you don't care about me. Oh, my feelings, all that kind of thing. And then you get people whose siblings do it. You get people whose bosses do it. I mean, there are like bosses who will say, well, if you can't do it, I suppose we just won't make our targets this month.
Mm.
And people do this without even realizing it sometimes because maybe they were raised by someone who behaves this way. But that's a big problem, right, Doc? And we got to address that head on. You can't just let someone do that to you.
So, Gareth, you're quite right. And guilt is the most suave, manipulative type of strategy that people use in order to get other people to behave.
Yeah.
So I can get you to behave by coercing you, by maybe exerting force or exerting leverage over you, which is very apparent, which is very explicit. It's very in your face. You can see that I'm making you do something that you don't want, that you do not want to do. But guilt is very underhanded. I can send a glance your way, or I can, as you said with the mom, oh, but you never come visit me. So you can get somebody to behave through coercion, through really enforced methods or forced methods, and or you can get somebody to behave through underhand methods. And guilt is the most suave, the most complicated, the most complex, because people do not like to feel guilty. The question is, what do you do with it, and how do you know whether you're being manipulated or not. I always say on the show, and I keep on repeating, I'm going to keep on repeating, the whole idea of setting boundaries is knowing what you want. The moment you know what you want, then it's very easy to say no to somebody and pick up when somebody's trying to manipulate you. So again, I'll give you an analogy. If I know I'm heading to Cape Town, that is my goal. I'm heading from Joburg to Cape Town.
Right.
And somebody comes along and says, Hanan, can I have a lift to Durban? The answer is no, because I'm heading to Cape Town. You can come with me to Cape Town, but I'm not going to Durban. But if I don't know where I'm going and somebody comes along and says, can I have a lift to Durban? The answer is yes, why not? I was living with no purpose anyway. And what ends up, right. I wake up 20 years later being everywhere for everyone else but for me. When you do not know what you want, you can easily be manipulated by guilt through other people, by other people. But when you know what you want, then you can actually work out consciously that somebody's trying to get you where they want you to be, as opposed to what's important for you.
Yeah, but you see, the kind of person who responds to guilt is probably not going to be able to stand up for themselves because they'll feel too guilty.
Yeah, right. But again, it's manipulative. Right. So if you feel like you're a burden on a family member, right? And you are in a position where you need their help, you are going to do what they say, no matter what, because it's almost a position of survival. So if they had to say, drive me to Durban, you would.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's guilt or if that's your insecurities and your inferiority complex. Yeah. I mean, what is that?
You know, when somebody has leverage over you, of course, you are more likely to kind of succumb to their will because they have leverage over you, whether they have financial leverage over you, whether they have status leverage over you. So you're now more naturally to go with the one that has more leverage and succumb again to their decisions. But to your point, Gareth, you cannot, how many times have we said on the show, what do we feel about feelings? Feelings are pathological lies. We do not follow our feelings. Feelings lie to us.
The and devil is a liar. Said,
yes, the devil.
Feelings just are inconsistent. And people say, but Hanan, I can tell you my feelings were completely honest or completely true. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you also in return that pathological lies also tell the truth sometimes,
sure.
But you don't know when they're honest and when they're lying to you. So we don't just listen to sadness just because we feel it. We don't just listen to anxiety just because we feel it. We don't just listen and succumb to guilt just because we feel it. We question it. Is it serving my purpose in line with me getting to Cape Town, with me getting to my goal, or is it going to stop me from getting to my goal? And if it is going to stop you, then you do not listen to the feeling.
There are a few very smart comments here. So first of all, I love this one from Lindy Ntuli, and it's come up on the show before. It's the way KFC force you to add R2 for hope. Otherwise, you're going to feel guilty. Now, I don't. So maybe I just have an inbuilt mechanism for not feeling guilty for things that are not my responsibility. Like they say to me, do you want to add R2 for guilt? And I go, no, straight away. I don't even think about it. Whereas someone like Leanne might go, yeah, okay, because she'd feel bad about like, oh, but the poor starving children.
Even beyond that, you feel bad. You feel like a social insecurity with that person who's just asked you.
No, I don't feel bad at all. I go to the window. I'm the one who won't give the R2 to hope. I don't care about hope. Not my hope. No guilt. None of that here.
If anything, question where your emotions are being aligned. What are your emotions being aligned to?
Yeah, I didn't make someone hungry. I didn't go and take away someone's bowl of gruel. I'm not going to feel bad about giving them no R2, you know? Here's an interesting point someone else makes. The moment you learn to forgive yourself, Alungile says, the better. I'm sure you don't want to find yourself depressed because you're overthinking things. Feel guilty, but learn to forgive yourself in life. That's a fairly smart point to get to. Like where you actually know, I might have felt guilty before, but now I'm going to forgive myself and move on.
Yeah, but you know, again, I'm a stickler for definitions. I want to tell you, forgiveness is not done in your head. It's done in action. So you don't forgive yourself by getting into your own head and, you know, apologize to yourself or let certain things go. You forgive through your behavior. You're able to let go only when you latch on and attach yourself to something that is that adds to the progression of your goal. So you don't sit in bed, cover yourself with a duvet, and learn to forgive yourself. You don't even learn to forgive yourself through books. You learn to forgive yourself through the experience of moving forward. That is how you let go and latch on and attach yourself to something more valuable.
Tracy says that old cheesy saying is so true. By saying no to others, you're saying yes to yourself.
Yeah.
And again, everything in moderation and everything is context. You can't say no to others full stop. Society doesn't like people that don't like to play games. And if you don't play nice, society just kind of puts you on the side and you don't play with them anymore. So it's about saying yes to people who are in service of your goal and saying no to people that are of no service to your goal.
All right, I love it. Thank you, Doc. We had to deal with guilt at some point, mostly because it never comes up on this show. And as Mig says in the comments, this is really intense. We will see you next week. Cheers, Doc.
See you guys. Bye, guys.
Bye. There's Dr. Hanan. All right, we'll be back in just a moment with the rest of the show on this fantastically chilly Monday. This is the Gareth Cliff Show, The Real Network. Let us know in the comments and whatever's on your mind. We'll throw into the mix whatever you've got on your mind. And we also want you to like, subscribe, et cetera, et cetera. I see that Waris and PH have got some competition on where they're actually going to give away some money. Why you never give me? Well, here's your chance. 50,000 apparently is the number that I'm hearing being bandied about. So check it out on social media, but you got to like, subscribe, all of that stuff. So get in there and get on it immediately. Don't be left out. All of that and more on the way.